And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. I mean, it goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to what we now get to call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And by the way, that's just the radio, which is cool. In fact, I'll tell you what, interesting thing. Just a little while ago, we had Matthew from Washington checking in. Matthew, I hope you're still listening. Just so you know, Natalie was in today. She just sent out your packages. So you got your stuff coming. And the other package she just sent out today was to Missouri. So yeah, I'd say our listening area is rather broad. Glad of it. Thank you very much, all of y'all Right Side Ruffians out there. So I'm going to jump into my third dipper. And I'm going to tell you right now, parts of this dipper are going to be consumed by hearing from Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, who right now is the deputy chief of staff to the White House for the presidency. And by the way, a news story a little while ago was saying it's breaking that he is also in one of the top considerations to replace Michael Waltz as national security advisor. But Stephen Miller can dismantle the press. I think the only other person out there who dismantled, only people who dismantled the press more than him might be Tom Homan and Donald Trump himself. Everybody else in that administration does a pretty good job of answering the mail, if you know what I'm saying. But Stephen Miller, like, brings a hacksaw when he gets going. He literally can unload. Well, the topic right now is alien enemies. So the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 is the legislation that was passed by Congress, signed by the president in 1798. Was that James Madison? I got to remember who that was now as a president. But it's a law that allows the president in extreme situations to declare certain people here on U.S. soil to be alien enemies of the state because of their role against the United States. And then they have less opportunities for due process. They're treated more like POWs or enemy combatants. And he did that, President Trump did, using that existing law, which has been used three times in U.S. history, although I will say they were not all in 1798. You had 1798, you had the War of 1812, and you had World War II. Now we have Tren de Aragua, MS-13, and the Mexican drug cartels. What president was it? I saw you look it up.
John Adams.
Thank you, sir. So yesterday we got the word that another judge has stepped in and said, Trump can't do Trump stuff. So basically, a U.S. District Court judge named Fernando Rodriguez is the first judge to now rule the Alien Enemies Act cannot be used against people the Republican administration claims are gang members invading the U.S. Story that I pulled it off of was from the AP. Dateline last night. You may recall that the Supreme Court of the United States already heard the issue, but they didn't answer it in full. What they said was anyone deported has to have some measure of due process, which meant that the Trump administration was stuck with having to do some measure of hearings or provide notice. That's what it was, notice, as opposed to just shipping them out. This judge has said, you know, one step further, since the Supreme Court didn't rule on that part, I consider it gray. I interpret the law to be something that the president cannot invoke. Cannot invoke. Said clearly, the president's invocation of the Alien Enemies Act through the proclamation exceeds the scope of the statute and is contrary to the plain, ordinary meaning of the statute's terms. I disagree. If that is the standard by which we go, then ISIS is allowed to set up training camps here on U.S. soil. You can go ahead and say that, Al-Qaeda can now go ahead and rent office space in New York City despite the fact that they flew planes into our buildings. It's okay because they're not geographic. They're a ideological-based entity of terror who owns no geography, has no government, but they are an organization nonetheless, the same as Tren de Aragua, the same as MS-13, and the same, oh, by the way, as the drug cartels out of Mexico. But this judge says, no, you can't do that. Senator Marco Rubio wrote a piece. It's under his name. It's an op-ed that came out. I've got a copy of it from Fox News, Dateline this morning. He said, when the Founding Fathers drafted the Aliens Act of 1798, they intended it to act as an antibody against foreign armies, criminal networks, and individuals who sought to do America harm. They understood something we've forgotten. Every nation has not just a right to act in self-defense, but a duty to do so. When a nation neglects that duty, it risks becoming a haven for vile criminal elements from across the globe and a battleground in other nations' conflicts. No nation, he said, is obligated to harbor foreign criminals from justice in their own home nation. Well, enter the question once again of Abrego Garcia. White House press room. Stephen Miller. He was standing there next to Caroline Leavitt because apparently he'd been asked to come in and provide some commentary as the deputy chief of staff. And one of the members of the press decided to open the floor to the question of Abrego Garcia. I'm going to play you a little bit more than I normally would, all right? I'm going to play you roughly 2 minutes of Stephen Miller just bringing a bludgeon to the members of the press. Then we're going to break and talk about it for a second. And then we're going to go back and hear another 2 minutes because, y'all, this is worth hearing. Play it.
And one on Abrego Garcia, please. The administration is reportedly inquiring about his return. Is that to check a box for compliance, or does President Trump want him back on U.S. soil, or both?
So, as Secretary Rubio said yesterday in the cabinet meeting, this administration is not going to publicly discuss the inside details of our foreign policy and negotiations with a foreign country. And in particular, we are not going to allow a district court judge to try to become the Secretary of State. Secretary Rubio is the one who, under his leadership and direction at the State Department, is managing the day-to-day relationship with El Salvador. Let's just take a moment, number one, to express our gratitude to El Salvador for agreeing to take some of the most dangerous terrorists off of America's streets and to put them into a safe environment where they cannot continue to engage in acts of terrorism or coordination with the Maduro regime. You may have seen recently an FBI assessment that was unclassified that said that the Maduro regime is using and planning to use trained Nicaraguan terrorists to carry out assassination plots on American soil. Now, very few in this room covered that. I'll let you all ask yourselves why you didn't cover it and why your editors didn't assign that story to you.
Here we go.
Something I think you should think about on your own. But this is a earth-shattering piece of news. The Biden administration imported the terrorist army that our own FBI assesses is planning assassination strikes on American soil against critics of the Maduro regime. Those are the terrorists that President Trump is finding and apprehending that our Democrat judges and Democrat activists are trying to keep on U.S. soil. Trained Nicaragua has the same legal status as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. MS-13 has the same legal status as Al-Qaeda and ISIS. These are foreign terrorists operating on our soil. And our gratitude to El Salvador for agreeing to take custody of these terrorists is immense.
So first of all, I love the fact that the deputy chief of staff has been saying what I've been saying for weeks, is that Al-Qaeda, ISIS, it's the same thing. They're terrorist entities. They don't have to be a foreign country. However, he also just wore them out on anecdotal information that was legit about what happens when the administration before him just opens wide the door and you find out that a foreign nation that does hate us used that proxy. This is like Hezbollah or Hamas. Use that proxy to go do its badness, all right? To go do the things that it wasn't going to do on the world stage, but it knew that it was trying. So Trinde Aragua is what he's saying, is here with assassination plans from the Maduro regime. And yet the judge says we can't send him home. That is asinine. Go ahead and get that second one queued up to the three. Okay, you got it? All right, I tell you what, This is one of the best moments of any presser that I've watched in forever. Let's go ahead and listen to Stephen Miller a little bit more as he talks about the topic at hand, alien enemies. Go ahead.
Extensive due process to two trained Nicaragua terrorists that were apprehended at the border just a couple years ago. They were two gentlemen. They were from Venezuela. They were members of trained Nicaragua. The Biden administration Border Patrol apprehended them and made the decision to provide them with extensive due process, put them onto a program known as supervised release, and put them on ankle monitors so that they could go through a lengthy legal judicial determination as to whether these legal aliens who had just set foot on U.S. soil might want to live in the United States for the rest of their lives. What was the result of that decision? What was the result of that choice that was made? Those two men kidnapped a young girl named Jocelyn Ungary from her family. They beat her, they sexually assaulted her, they tortured her, they stripped her, they murdered her, and they dumped her body. That is what the Biden administration's policy was. Most of your papers never covered her story when it happened. To the extent that you covered it at all, it was because President Trump forced you to cover it by highlighting it repeatedly over and over again. He had to shame you into covering it. And each and every one of you that sides over and over again with these MS-13 terrorists, to the extent that you have the financial means to do so, you all choose to live in condos or homes or houses as far away from these kinds of gangbangers as you possibly can. If I offered any one of you a rent-free home with no taxes to pay in any of these gang neighborhoods, and I said your neighbors are MS-13 terrorists or Mexican mafia or Sinaloa cartel or Tren de Aragua, I couldn't pay you to live there. But yet you, with your coverage, are trying to force innocent Americans to have these people as their neighbors, and that one day their daughter may be abducted from their home and raped and murdered. So you're not going to get an ounce of sympathy from this administration or President Trump for the terrorists who've invaded our homes and our country.
My God, was that not epic? Or, I mean, listen, there are members of the press who just sat there not knowing what to do because they just got excoriated on national TV. I mean, and he's so right. I didn't hear anything he said that I would disagree with. I mean, nothing. And I love the fact that he brought it home. Not a single one of you could be paid to live in a neighborhood if you were told that these people you're trying to vouch for right now was your neighbor. Just saying. And this was a moment, in my opinion. This was a watershed moment in the press room. I don't know that we've seen anything like that. And it was also one of those that, you remember the past, like, we had the whole situation with, you know, Jim Acosta, who would interrupt and yell at the president and want to know more and ask belligerent questions and all that kind of stuff. I think what's happened is the media landscape has been forced to change, and people who were not allowed in the room before are now allowed in the room. And so the other members of the media are now behaving themselves because they recognize they've got peers who will take them out back and whoop them later if they don't do it right. That's just my perspective.
You talked about the point of him bringing up, these reporters wouldn't live next to the guys like Kilmer, Abrego, Garcia. But no, that is the entire, like, and I mentioned it earlier about the, you know, even stuff like the gas stoves or whatever. Like, they're constantly, you know, from their ivory towers or from up above, whatever, like, you do this, you know, a good person would do this and let this person in. But if they had to live next to him, no, they would feel the exact same.
Yeah.
So that I think that's why they're losing the Democrat Party is losing touch with the common citizen on this, because
they're gonna fly their private jet, yep, cook on their gas stoves and advocate for illegal aliens and make us lump it.
Exactly. And the common citizens don't want to live next to those people, but The Democratic Party doesn't grasp that, apparently.
Take me to a break, JP. I gotta calm down. All right, you guys, it's Friday afternoon. We'll come right back, get a few text messages. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.